Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Pastor Perkins. Welcome to the Bread of Heaven Bible Study. It's good to be with you. I have asked Minister Maxwell to lead us in prayer.
Praise the Lord again.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your kindness. We thank you, God, for another day's journey. We thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, that you have granted us, that we have set aside, oh God, to come together to study your word, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for all of the people of God who will join or who had a desire to be involved in the Bible study tonight, but were hindered in some way, shape, form, or fashion. God, we just thank you, oh God, for the privilege of prayer, the privilege to call on your name, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. That you're a prayer answering God, that you hear us, oh God. We thank you, Lord. God, we just place before you, God, place at your feet all of our cares, Lord. We especially pray for Samantha tonight, God. You know all about her little body. You Jesus. Created her, oh God. You created each one of us. So, you knew before the foundation of the world, God, what we might face. You knew what you would have us to allow us to go through, oh God.
Jesus.
And you know how much each one of us can bear, God.
Thank you, Lord.
You measured all of the tests and trials that you allowed to come our way before you even let it come, God.
Thank you, Lord.
You're a God who knows everything. You know it all, God. You know more about us than we know, God, because as I stated, you created us. You created us because you love us. And Lord, you're a God who loves us, Lord. Doesn't want us to hurt. But you allow us to, God, for your purposes and your will to be done.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, we just ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our minds, God. Strengthen our desires, Lord, to please you in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, I know there are other needs, oh God, of the saints, Lord. Sicknesses, some of the, we don't even know how to describe, Lord, some of the things that are going on in our bodies, oh God. But you're the master healer. You're the master physician.
Jesus.
You are a miracle worker. You know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, there's nothing outside of your power, Lord. There's nothing that's too hard for you, oh God. No sickness that you can't heal. No hurt that you can't heal. No problem that you can't solve, God.
Jesus.
There's nothing that's too hard for you. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're God who wants us to cast our cares on you, who told us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. Help us to learn how to do that, Lord, when we're hurting to the point, Lord, that we don't want to get out of bed. So even that particular day, whether it be in mind, body, or spirit, God, but Lord, you're a God who can heal all of that. So we cast our cares on you today, this evening, oh God. Lord, as your word goes forth tonight, Lord, just let it be brought with clarity. Help us to have good understanding, oh God. Help us to have a mind, Lord, to want to walk out your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, oh God. I can't thank you enough, Lord, even for things I don't understand, Lord. I can't thank you enough because you don't make mistakes, God. You don't make mistakes.
Jesus.
I can't thank you enough, oh God, for loving us so much that you would make yourself a body to dwell among us and know what we face, to know what we have need of, to know what's in our hearts, to know the pains and struggles we might have. So you could be touched by the feeling of our infirmities.
Yes.
I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that, dear Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I just bless and honor you, God, for the saints of Bread of Heaven and saints everywhere, God. Saints everywhere, all over the world. You know what this world stands in need of, oh God. And we had an election that a lot of people are not pleased about, but you're still God. You still reign. You still have all power. You still rule. You allowed it to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
So help us, oh God, just to stand on you, stand on your promises, your word, and the fact that you will take care of us and that you will be with us no matter what happens. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God, for our pastor and his wife and his family, oh God. And we just ask your continued blessings upon him, oh God, at work, as he travels, Lord, to and from, whatever he does, oh God, whatever he puts his hand to, oh God, as he studies the word to feed your people, God, I just ask your continued blessings upon him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for him and for his family with this church, oh God, with Bread of Heaven. And I just ask you just to continue to let your will be done, Lord, and to help them to be open, Lord, to continue to be open to your will being done in that place, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you're wonderful. You're awesome, God. You're mighty in all your ways, oh God.
Hallelujah.
And we just praise you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your holy name, oh Jesus. Great God of our salvation, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, woman of God, for that powerful prayer. It's good to be with you tonight. Last week, we started out talking about the blessing of redemption. And we're going to do a part two tonight. We're going to have like a little subtopic to go with the blessing of redemption. I'm going to do the quickest review I can possibly do about what we talked about last week. And then I will read again. I may read again the definition of redemption that I use. But redemption involves buying somebody back. It involves ransom. It implicates the scripture where it says we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. There's more to it than that, but we were in the book of Ruth. We did the first two chapters last week. And then those of you who know, the book of Ruth is four chapters. So we could end up doing the final two tonight. We certainly will touch on them. I have another scripture the Lord brought into my mind in the middle of the night, along with two songs. So relax, I'm not going to sing the songs, but I will read the words to one song and maybe a stanza of another song. It relates to the subtopic. It also relates to something mentioned in the prayer by Minister Maxwell, and I will bring it to pass. Because I'm speaking God's word, I want to pray briefly. Minister Maxwell has already done the heavy lifting, but let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Lord, there's somebody on this call, Lord, that needs to hear what you have chosen for us to talk about tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I think I'll go straight to the first psalm. Well, now let me go to the scripture. Psalm 107. And I'll read verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. His mercy, hallelujah, doesn't run out. Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And the subtopic to our two-part topic of the blessing of redemption comes from that verse, and it's voices of the redeemed. Because if you're redeemed, you're going to say so. You're going to testify. You're going to praise him. You're going to lift him up. There's going to be something about your speech that's different from the person sitting next to you on the bus or at work. Hallelujah. There's something going to be different about your voice and the voices of the redeemed. The Lord delights to hear our voices and to bless and respond to our cries, to hear our prayers as we call on the name of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord stand up. Let the redeemed of the Lord move the needle, hallelujah, in favor of the kingdom, because the power of our testimony is such, and there's something in our voice that's different, hallelujah, because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, verse 3, and gather them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hallelujah. This sounds familiar in a lot of ways in terms of the children of Israel at one time being in exile. Also, it conjures up, but it doesn't relate to them being in the desert during the 40 years of wandering. They found no city to dwell in it, but also it comes a little closer to this continent of the sons and daughters of Africa and the pilgrimage that we've had in this place called America. No city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. We might go, hallelujah, to a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. That ties back to verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the voices of redemption. This verse is so important in this psalm. It's repeated word for word four different times. Here, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, for he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, Minister Maxwell mentioned something about the election. I told Renita we weren't going to talk about the election. But the Lord, in the middle of the night, last night, after I had learned the result, put this song on my heart in conjunction with the scripture I just read about let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So hopefully it ministers to somebody. It's called Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's by James Weldon Johnson, a renowned African-American poet. The music was added later by his brother, Rosamond Johnson. This was written in the early 1900s. I can't be sure, but maybe around 1917. And it's very prominent. At some point in his life, he had a connection with Fisk University, and he wrote this song. It is sometimes called the Negro National Anthem, but it is a sacred song. It is a song praising God, and it also speaks of that pilgrimage that we had. It reminds me of Psalm 107, us looking for a city. Hallelujah. Being weary and thirsty, being satisfied. Verse 8, for he sated a yearning soul and a soul he filled with goodness. Psalm 107:9, that's the last verse I just forgot to read. It says, lift every voice and sing. Let me add this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Till earth and heaven ring with the harmonies of liberty. And you know they feel free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us, facing the rising sun of our new day begun. Somebody said joy comes in the morning. Let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Now that's a line right there. The chastening rod felt in the days when hope unborn had died, that the hope that normal human beings would have died before it was born because of slavery. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed. Hallelujah. We've been able to walk in with our fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers dreamed of. We have come over a way with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered, out from gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou hast brought us thus far on the way. Thou who hast by thy might led us into the light. Hallelujah. This sounded a whole lot like redemption, being ransomed, brought out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. Led us into the light, kept us forever in the path. We keep us forever in the path. We pray, lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Hallelujah. Let our hearts drunk with the wine of the world. Let me read that again. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shattered beneath thy hand, may we forever stand. True to our God, true to our native land. And then this is another song the Lord gave me, like right after each other. This version, this small part I'm going to read is put out, published, sung by the Chicago Mass Choir. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, and then hold unto God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you, whatsoever the years may bring. When your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him cling. And I'm skipping down to the refrain. Build your hopes on things eternal, and just hold on to God's unchanging hands. And we can't hope in elections. All right. It feels good though when we have that kind of hope, but that's just temporal. Hallelujah. But our hope is on things eternal. And I praise God for being with you today. And I thank God for the blessing of redemption. And I thank God that as those who have been redeemed by the Lord have been taken from the snare of the enemy, that we can say, hallelujah, I am the redeemed of the Lord. And I can say it, I can live it, I can testify to others about it. I can sing the songs of Zion even in these times, hallelujah, and knowing that I have been redeemed or bought back from the hand of the enemy, ransomed off death row by blood that was shed, blood so perfect, so sacrificial, a scandal so horrific that it need not ever be repeated again. Jesus, the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of all the world, hallelujah, for my grandmama then, for Moses then, for my grandsons and great-grandsons and great-granddaughters and great-great-granddaughters, the blood, hallelujah, shed once and for all for the sins of all the world has redeeming power, hallelujah, ransoming power, praise God. So we talked from Ruth, the first chapter last night. If you got on late, the topic is The Blessing of Redemption, part two. And my subtopic is Voices of Redemption. And then I read 107, Psalm 107, 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. So we have a voice. We praise him. We testify. We lift him up. Praise God. There was a time we didn't know God well enough to testify of him. We just could repeat what we heard everybody say. We were going on hearsay because we didn't know him. Praise God. But something happened, praise God. And God changed us and we began to walk by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's the unshakable reality of that which exists outside of our sight. Hallelujah. It is the title deed, hallelujah, of what, hallelujah, God wants to give us. So it's like having a deed to some land out in California on Hollywood Boulevard. Hallelujah. Most expensive, maybe acre of land in the whole country. Praise God. But you can't see it hit from Nashville. Praise God. But you got the title deed and the title deed says it's yours. Praise God. That's faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we walk by faith, not by sight anymore. And so there was a man named Elimelech who was of Bethlehem, praise God. And he had a wife named Naomi. He had a son named Malon and one named Kilian. I looked it up. I think the CH is spelled like a K, Kilian. And they went to the land of Moab because there was famine in Bethlehem. And they went, and first the husband died, then the two sons died. Before the two sons died, they married, praise God. So the mama, Naomi, had two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And as it worked out, Orpah went back. Ruth went with her, said, my God would be, your God would be my God, your land, my God, your people, my people. Hallelujah. And where you die, I'm going to die. And then we go on and they go back and Ruth, Naomi, whose name means pleasant, she didn't want to be called that anymore. And we go on. It turns out that Ruth just wouldn't let it go. Get to chapter 2. They don't have any means of support. They are both widows. And the young lady, the daughter-in-law, Ruth, goes to the fields and begin to glean, walking behind the reapers, getting the leftover grain. Maybe not the choicest grain, but the leftover. Hallelujah. And she took and gleaned in the field. There was a man named Boaz. He was kind to her. He instructed the young man not to follow her. He stepped in. He was sponsoring her. He was a protector. He had heard of her kindness and virtue toward Naomi. He was related to Elimelech, who had died in Moab. And he was near of kin, praise God. And he was so kind to her and gave her extra and she and made sure she had plenty to take back to Naomi at the end of the workday. And then we're going to pick it up here toward the end of chapter 2, verse 19. We read these 2, 3, 4 verses last week, but I want to use that as a lead in. So she gets back home and her mother-in-law, verse 19, said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Where did you work? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had worked or wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who have not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said all unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men, stay close to the young men, that's your protection, until they have ended all my harvest. Not only your protection, but your provision. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. You don't have to go nowhere else. Hallelujah. Once you come to Jesus, you don't have to go nowhere else. So remember Boaz as a type of Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. So she kept fast the maiden of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, what is the typology? What is the connection between Boaz as kinsman redeemer? We'll see it. I don't know how much of these next two chapters I'm going to read, so let me tell it to you. Boaz ends up being the kinsman redeemer, the person close in kin. There was somebody closer in kin. He had to go talk to that man who was closer in kin, who had a superior right under their system to pay money to step in the shoes of an inheritor and to marry Ruth and to get the estate lands of the family. And there was a man close in kin. As it turned out, the man said he had his money tied up another way. He didn't want to do it. So Boaz was able legally to step forward. They were in the presence of several witnesses. and somebody took off a shoe and all that. I guess that's kind of like a notary seal. And they got it done, and he got it done. And so Boaz married Ruth. Ruth had Obed. Obed means servant or worshiper. Obed ended up being nursed and tended to by Naomi, the woman who thought she was too old to tend the children or and all of that. The Lord brought her in a wonderful way. Obed later had a son named Jesse. Jesse later had a son named David. David later had a son named Solomon. And down through the line came Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so the kinsman redeemer, praise God, is who Jesus is. The kinsman redeemer has the resources to redeem. The kinsman redeemer is near of kin. Jesus wrapped himself in flesh to become near of kin to us. And then he said, I don't, you can't take my life. I lay it down. So it was voluntary. The kinsman redeemer can only be somebody who does the redemption through voluntary means. And so that's the connection in a nutshell between Boaz and Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the ultimate redeemer. He has redeemed us not by having a transaction in the presence of witnesses in a financial sense, but he died on the cross in the presence of witnesses for us. Hallelujah. His blood is the redeeming currency of our spiritual life, of our souls. Hallelujah. And we are redeemed from the power, from the snare of the enemy, just like in Psalm 107, 2. And we can, hallelujah, live a life free. We can have an inheritance. We can walk in power. We don't have to be walking around depressed, upset all the time, upset over election beyond that which is reasonable. We can go on. We can go on to what's next because of the power of redemption. And then we can come back to the Lord and say, Lord, give me another hit. Give me some, pour out on me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I repent. I acted up. I talked right. I didn't pray like I should. I relied on my own understanding. Lord, help me, help me, help me. I'm caught up in something, Lord. Hallelujah. That has all has become a snare for me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. Bring me through. Wash me, Lord. Hallelujah. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, Lord, and I'll be water. Just deal with me, Lord. Hallelujah. Just as I am, Lord. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. To walk according to your word, to be a true ambassador and witness, to give me a testimony, hallelujah, that I once was sick. I once was lost. I was once outside the ark of saving, of safety, and Jesus took me in. Hallelujah. I once, praise the God, was my own, headed to damnation. But I was bought, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. And I got a voice. I have the there is a voice that the redeemed have. It's full of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we delight in the Lord just like he delights in us, right? And we praise him with what we got. We lift him up, praise God. We go through disappointment. We go through things we don't understand. We go through stuff we can't figure out. We go through things sometimes that seems like it's unthinkable. Hallelujah. And yet we go on. Hallelujah. My precious wife was telling me today that she was on her way somewhere else And she went by the cemetery where our son is buried. And it was hard. She was telling me about it. And in my heart, I wish maybe she hadn't gone there, because I know how bad it hurts. But praise the Lord. We've got victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I got real joy, y'all. We've got real joy. That doesn't mean we don't go through things, but this relationship we're talking about with the Lord, this spiritual relationship, this sense of being bought, hallelujah, and purchased, hallelujah, and get a do-over in the spirit, hallelujah, to get another chance to be brought back, praise God, hallelujah, from the precipice of not being able to be with the Lord in peace, and being brought, hallelujah, from the edge, hallelujah, talked back from the ledge, hallelujah, brought back from the ledge by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being able to trust him, to walk with him, to have fellowship, to walk with him in the cool of the evening, tell him, hallelujah, how much we love him, to have power and authority over things, to know that God is with you, praise God. When I come to this courthouse, I'm in the courthouse in chambers, praise God, hallelujah, I know that God is with me. It doesn't matter anymore, praise God. I used to get bent out of shape by the tricks of the lawyers and all. Why don't they just tell the truth? Why don't they tell the just truth? And the Lord been dealing with me about that. And I've just had some breakthroughs, hallelujah. And I just feel like by God's grace, it's my time, hallelujah. Praise God, because I'm a child of the King. It's my time. I don't let all the other stuff go. Praise God. I don't let all the stuff I worried about and was concerned about. Praise God. Stuff I couldn't fix, trying to figure out why a lawyer would lie over something. I'm sitting there looking at the paper where the truth is, and he's standing in front of me, looking me straight in the eye from the podium and lied to me. And I got it right there in my hand, what the truth is. And I just say, you know what? It's above my pay grade. I just got to deal with what's on my desk. I can't figure out everything, but I show, hallelujah, by God's grace, can decide this matter. Praise God. The matter that's on my desk. I might not figure out why they lie, but I can decide the matter before my death. And sometimes you just got to feel like that God is with you. You just got to know he's with you. Praise God. You say, well, Pastor Perkins, I got some warts. I got some things in my life. I got a little bit of temper. I got this, I got that. Hallelujah. God can still be with you. Hallelujah. You ever heard of a man named David? He did some crazy stuff. He took a man's wife, had him killed. He did some crazy stuff. God blessed him. He kept going after God. He had the testimony that he was a man after God. There was a sense that, hallelujah, that God was with him. Praise God. And we got to believe that God is with us. He didn't save us so that we could be sad sacks. I mean, we're going to go through stuff. And some of y'all younger people don't even know what sad sack is. That was a cartoon character in the newspaper. He was in the army and he was a sad sack. Praise God. He's sad all the time. He looks sad. They drew him in an animated face like he was sad. We don't have to live like that. Hallelujah. No matter what, praise God. No matter how deep it gets, And it gets deep sometimes. It gets deep. It really does get deep. We're not going to sugarcoat it. It gets deep sometimes. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's we've been victimized and betrayed. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, if God be with you, if you just know God is with you and that he has promised he won't leave us, that he never will leave, that means what? Not for a moment. You say, well, what about when I was in this moment? What about when I was in this ungodly relationship? What about with it? God will not leave you. Now, we have the ability to tune God out. The flesh does. Hallelujah. But that doesn't mean he, hallelujah, abandons us. He's just waiting. Hallelujah. so many times where I said, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. That's good. You should wait on the Lord. But what about if he's waiting on you? Hallelujah. You're not praying like you used to. You're not praying like the scripture said. He's waiting on you to start doing what he told you to do so that he can respond quickly. He delights to bless us. Hallelujah. But he's not inclined to go against his own word. So we have to learn how, hallelujah, in this walk of redemption, and realizing we are redeemed, we are reclaimed, hallelujah, by the power of God, that there was blood, hallelujah. We are blood washed, hallelujah. Blood purchased, blood ransomed, blood redeemed, praise God. And the name of Jesus was left on record for that, hallelujah. And then we get filled with the Holy Ghost by the power of God to overflow. It's a gift. And if you ever receive it, those of you who have not received it, it will change your mind. Hallelujah. Receiving the very Ruach, the Old Testament says in Hebrew, the wind of God in your life. It will change your life. You can't be in contact with the holy and remain the same. Jacob tried it. He wrestled, but he ended up with a limp for the rest of his life. You can't get tied up with the Lord and not be changed. Hallelujah. And that change, hallelujah, supposed to give us a voice that has power in the earth realm. Hallelujah. Praise God. A prayer life, a praise life, a testimony life. Praise God. And we can tell the Lord all about it, what we're going through, and let him know that we love him and that we need him. Praise the Lord. And just like this story with Ruth, it's powerful. Next chapter, chapter 3, her mother-in-law said, go to the threshing floor. Yeah, now, no women are supposed to be there. Go at night, hold back, make sure you don't go until he's already had his little drinks. You know, maybe got a little buzz on, he's sleeping. It's lights out because you're not really supposed to be there as a woman, and slip in and lay at his feet and lay and cover him and let him cover you. And that's it. And then when he woke up, he saw her and he thought about immediately about making her his wife. And he remembered that there was a person closer in kin that had a superior claim. And, you know, honorable people do things in decency and order. I mean, he could have perhaps tried to get with her or something that night. Maybe she couldn't have much of a defense. Fear of the other men in the situation. I don't know. I don't know the complete cultural context, but it was not a good thing for her to be there at night. But this was a man of honor. And he didn't try to say, well, hey, baby girl, I got the highest claim on you. You know, come on here. Let me talk to you. Yeah, you're looking good. No, he didn't do that. He said, look, I gotta have a meeting in front of some witnesses before we can't go nowhere. We can't go one centimeter further with this. An honorable man, a man who was very moved by the fact that this younger woman didn't go after a younger man, that she responded to his integrity. She responded to his goodness, his virtue, his stature as a man of truth, a man of his word. Hallelujah. And he was a rich man, but really, you know what he was, according to the story? He was a farmer in Bethlehem. And God used him to bring Obed into the world. God used him to become part of the line of Jesus Christ. God used him to bring joy back to Elimelech's house, to Elimelech's widow, to Mahlon's widow, Ruth, and to bring children. And through them, the greatest natural king of Israel, David, came. And through him, the greatest spiritual king the world has ever known, sometimes referred to as the Son of David, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, came into the world for a mission: to preach liberty to the captives and to die for our sins, to pay the ransom, to redeem us from the snare of the enemy. Well, why was this necessary? Somebody might ask. Well, you got to go all the way back to Adam and to Eve and to their sin in the garden and how they needed the Lord to make some clothes for them, to give them another chance, even though they died in terms of not being able to live forever. They died to the innocence they were in before. They disobeyed. That disobedience introduced fallenness into the world. That fallenness was passed on to every human being that ever lived, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. Hallelujah. And a righteous God, the righteous judge, demanded a payment for sin. Hallelujah. And those wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In order to get out of the snare of the enemy, the wages of sin, we had to have a Redeemer to come near of kin to us, to shed his perfect blood, blood with the chromosomes of heaven, to redeem us from the snare of sin, the law, our flesh, our fallenness, to be brought out of the kingdom of darkness, this world, and the kingdom of our dear Son, his dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to give us a hope. But Christ in us is the hope of glory. And then we think about that song I read. Lift every voice and sing. And the part I hear, sometimes you hear preachers quote this when they're praying at a funeral or something. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. I wonder if anybody has ever lived long enough to have some weary years. Some years where you were sick, some years where you didn't have perhaps the support you had counted on. The years when you were tired. The years when you poured out but seemed like you didn't get much back. And God of our silent tears. And silent tears hurt just as when you are heaving and sobbing. Those silent tears can hurt sometimes because the silent tears implies, hallelujah, being by yourself. Silent tears imply, hallelujah, that you're on a quiet journey. That maybe you don't have the support. Maybe you don't have anybody patting you on your back or encouraging you, or trying to pull you up, or trying to boost you, or trying, hallelujah, to give an encouraging word, or to give you a kind hug or embrace, silent tears, you know. Maybe over pain you can't talk about. Maybe over pain, hallelujah, that it's not wise to tell the whole story, you know. Those tears, hallelujah. The tears of all the promises, hallelujah, you find in scriptures. And then there are moments when we feel we've fallen short of it. Hallelujah. But the Redeemer, our Savior, is full of mercy. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is high priest and offering. Hallelujah. He is our Redeemer, and he is the one that was the ransom, his body. He said, "This is my body broken for you." What's your point, Pastor? Hallelujah. We got to get past the natural things, the daily things, the circumstantial things that would hold us down. Hallelujah. And there's something about delighting in the Lord. It's something about the voice of the redeemed. Hallelujah. That helps us. That helps us help other people while we need help ourselves. And in helping, sowing help to somebody, then we reap help back to ourselves. You ever felt better doing a small thing for somebody and then get a blessing later on? Hallelujah. When I was a little boy, I used to cut grass in my neighborhood. That was my living, y'all. If I wanted anything extra, my parents took good care of me. I had lunch money. I had clothes, whatever. But if I wanted an extra something, if I wanted to buy an extra baseball, or if I wanted to buy some comic books or something like that, I had to do my little business in the neighborhood, you know. And it was a business because I had the budget to buy the gas. I had to, back then, those old lawnmowers, you had to put oil in them and all that. I had to try to keep that bad boy running. The most embarrassing thing, be cutting some little old lady's yard, and then halfway through your lawnmower shut down. The grass is high and low, and you don't want that. It's not a good feeling. You're trying to bless somebody, and you're trying to earn a little money. And when I used to do that, and sometimes I would do it and not charge. A little lady next door to us, she had one leg. She was mean, but we got her back because we used to sneak into her yard and get her plums and stuff. And boy, she'd be mad. But toward the end of her life, I stopped stealing her plums out of her tree, me and my brother, and I started cutting her grass for free. And she changed. She wasn't, her name was Miss Bush. And I wasn't scared of her no more. And it made me feel better. You know, like if something was going on in school, maybe we lost a big game on the baseball field, and I came home and I would cut her grass. It made me feel better. It made me feel better. I'm telling you, blessing somebody else, and one of the easiest ways, is to the voice of redemption. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speaking the truth. Hallelujah. And let your words be seasoned with salt. Speaking the truth in love. Hallelujah. Can bless somebody in doing things. Not expecting anything in return. It doesn't have to be something big. Something small, but just do it. Kindnesses. Praise the Lord. kind thanks, doing, extending yourself a little bit. There's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. There's a sowing in it. And even if it's not received, hallelujah, you have sown it. God sees it, and he knows how to reward you. You can get locked up in your trouble. Not supposed to. You can get locked up in your pain, right? Because you got some silent tears, right? You don't have, hallelujah, all the support you would like. Or if you have the support, what you're dealing with is so intensely personal, you can only tell part of the story, right? And then the Lord is dealing with you. But try telling somebody about Jesus. Try singing the songs of God. Try praying, point out your heart to the Lord. Try delighting in the Lord. That's what I did this morning. When the Lord was giving me these songs, songs somebody else had written, he wasn't giving me new songs. He's giving me some old songs that I heard. In the case of Lift Every Voice, I heard that song first probably 40 years ago. Hallelujah. And Sister Renita can sing that song because it's a soprano song. But God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. Anybody's ever worked a job, you know what a God of our weary years can be. And sometimes that's family issue that don't get fixed. Hallelujah. Sometimes people do things to you in your family or in your life, and they will never apologize for it. They will never try to reconcile with you. And it doesn't mean they hate you, but there's something going on with them spiritually. And they go on to their graves. And you have to figure out, if you haven't already figured out, how to let God heal you. Hallelujah. And if you have not forgiven them, forgive them. Write out the pardon. Praise God. It's not emotional to forgive. But the healing part has an emotional quality to it. But God can do it. He's the great physician. There is balm in Gilead. He will meet you at the point of your need. He knows you better than anybody else could possibly know you. But you have to learn how to delight in him and let the voice of the Redeemer, the redeemed of God, let us say so. We're redeemed. And tell somebody the good news that God is holy. We in our own strength are not, but we can be holy through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Christ, through the grace poured out, through the faith once delivered to the saints. All right. I didn't read those last two chapters, but I kind of summarized them in the book of Ruth. The blessing of redemption. Let me use a colloquialism. Let me put it like, I'm just kind of wading around in the slush on the tip of the iceberg on this. I could teach this for a year. I'm not going to. I'm not threatening y'all. But it's so much to it about redemption. Praise God. So I thank the Lord for you being on the call. Questions or comments?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Did somebody else want to say something?
It's you, babe girl. Oh,
okay. Praise the Lord. Thanks to God. I'm really enjoying the message tonight and just wanted to thank you. It was so needed, especially today for me specifically, particularly. I don't know about anybody else, but for me today, especially, this message is so needed, and I really appreciate you and thank you for blessing my soul. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Now, Elder, I see you're off mute, Elder Brasher. You want to say something?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Another really good lesson. I do appreciate it. And as you were talking in the scripture, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's an expression, I think of, there's an expression of gratitude that comes when we realize what the Lord, what he bought, what he paid the price and what he bought us out of, and I don't want to forget where the Lord's brought me from and the condition I was in when I came to the altar, just broken and in tears because of the sin, all the sin that was in my life that I had committed an offense to God, just surrendering and getting baptized in his name, and which is where the blood comes, is through his name, and then being filled with the Spirit. It's just the expression, and I thought about in the scripture the woman who came to Jesus, who was sitting at dinner. He was sitting at the table with the Pharisees, the religious folks. And the Bible said this woman who had been a sinner, and she really had been, she was a prostitute. And she had so much, whatever the Lord did for her, she had so much gratitude in her heart that, first of all, she brought the most expensive ointment that she had, perfume that she had, and she was so broken that she came up behind the Lord in humility. She wasn't even supposed to be there. And the religious folks were appalled that she was even there, really. But she expressed and poured out her love because of what the Lord had done for her. All the details, I don't see them in the scripture, all the details, but she had been a prostitute, and the way she honored the Lord and the way she came up and wept and cried so much that it was enough water coming out of her eyes to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with her hair, then to anoint his feet. It's just an expression of what the Lord had done. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I never want to ever give the Lord less than what he deserves. And because I know that I couldn't have delivered myself, couldn't have redeemed myself. I couldn't have brought myself out of the condition that I was in and the bondage of sin and captivity of the devil. That was a yoke that it took the power of the Holy Ghost to destroy. And that's something that we should always keep in mind, whenever we get a chance. And that just, it goes from our heart of appreciation and gratitude. Also like the leper that came back and fell at the Lord's feet when he had been healed and saw that he was healed. There was an expression of worship, all of that. And you said that the name of Obed meant worshiper. And that's, that's what it should bring about. That redemption should bring about recognizing what the Lord has done through the redemption. And it should bring about worship and an expression of worship to the Lord. So I do appreciate you speaking these words, and they don't fall on deaf ears with me, Pastor Perkins. I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Elder. Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies? Floor is open for the saints.
Praise the Lord. This is Sister Carol.
Praise the Lord.
I just want to say that I'm too, like Minister Brasher, also enjoying the word of God tonight. I love the story of Ruth. It's such a good story. And like he said, I'm so glad that we've been redeemed from all our sins by the blood of the Lamb and still being redeemed. And I just love this. It's just such a beautiful story and everything. And you did a beautiful job of explaining it and everything.
Thank you. God bless you.
It's a great love story too.
It is. It is.
Yeah, when a roof and a husband and how it came about and everything. It's real, real touching and real moving. But it like, but you brought all the things out about Jesus and his role in it, and how he was bringing out everything through this family and stuff. But it all related back to Jesus Christ and his grace and his mercy. You know how they say we have a song that the angels can't sing, that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, that's true. And Peter said in one of his epistles that the angels desire to look into this, you know, the wonder of redemption is such. Hallelujah. And I thank God. I praise God for the blessing of redemption. I shudder to think where I would be if I had not received the blood wash through the name of Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost through crying out to him, to opening myself up to receive the very best gift you can have as we walk this earth. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Pastor Perkins, something that Sister Carol said just sort of triggered something in me. You know, she said that story was a great love story. And I was thinking that the individual relationship that the Lord has with all of us, and only we know how much love the Lord has extended to us through our lives. It's a great love story. Our lives individually are a great love story that we can express to the Lord and express to others. But it is such a beautiful personal thing. I just appreciate the Lord so much and love him, man, for all that he's done. Sister Carol, that Ruth and Boaz, great love story. But Jesus, you know, me and Jesus, that's what Jesus. Our whole lives are an expression of his love, and it's a great love story. Everybody's testimony is a great love story from the Lord. So anyway, I just thought about that. Thank you for triggering that thought, Sister Carol.
Amen.
Are you welcome? Pastor Perkins, I also like the way you brought out to how Boaz was a type of Christ.
Amen. Because I'm looking on my phone. I had written a note in my phone about, I wrote, you hear me use this word a lot. And it, most of the time I'm talking about the Lord's attitude toward us. But tonight I used it a couple times to show our attitude toward the Lord. And the Lord just been dealing with me this the last couple of nights in the middle of the night. And that is, the Lord delights in us, but we need to delight in him. Even on our worst day, even in our deepest disappointment, even when we have a gut-wrenching situation or challenge that's facing us, delight thyself in the Lord. I think it's Psalm 37. Let me read it. Sorry for being disorganized. Psalm. Let me get. I like to get it exact. If I'm not. Psalm 37. All right. Verse 4, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Sister Carol, you knew where I was going, didn't you? But anyway, we delight ourselves in the Lord. He will give the desires of the Lord. We spend a lot of time asking God for the desires of our heart. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He's the only person who can do it. But how about delighting ourselves in him first? And then he will respond. He already knows what we need. He will give us the desires of our heart. So along with all the wonderful things that my brothers and sisters have said since we opened it up for comments, take the word delight, delighting in the Lord. And you know, you say, well, I don't exactly know how. You know how you feel when you see a little baby that's smiling or giggling or hugging on to their dad or their mother? Or if they're a toddler, they're running real wild. They got that reckless abandon, joy of life, right? Let's delight in the Lord. You know how you used to lay down in the green grass and come in? Well, I used to do it. Y'all probably had too much sense to do it. I lay out in the grass. I come in the house with chiggles and everything else on my body. But I lay in the green light, glass, and look up. Not really looking up, have my eyes closed, and the sunlight is on my eyes. Whatever the memory is that brings you with that childlike abandon. Because what did Jesus say? You have to come as a little child, you know, that he that is least is greatest in the kingdom. Matthew 18, beginning of the chapter. And so, you know, have that reckless abandon in the spirit before the Lord. And, you know, get that second childhood thing, delighting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Like you chasing that little ball when you were five out in the field, or you sitting in your grandmama's lap. Hey, that's hard to beat that, you know. And so delight in the Lord. When you are hurting, when you have a desire in your life for the Lord to bless, and it seemed like it's taking a long time, delight in him. Hallelujah. And he will give you the desires of your heart. He will. Praise the Lord. All right.
Pastor Perkins, I think those last 5 minutes that you were talking directly to me, and that's the way I was receiving it, because I have a gut-wrenching situation going on in my life right now. And I just shared with the other people that my supervisor, who's been harassing me, now she's taking to another step. She's trying to take my position and move me back as a regular nurse on the floor, which means I had to go back to 12-hour shifts. And right now, I love the 8-hour shifts. I didn't know how much I was missing from church by being there every Sunday, because I could only be there every Sunday, every other Sunday with the 12-hour shifts. Then I could only be on the Bible study every other Wednesday with the 12-hour shift. And I just didn't know how much I was missing. And I'm just enjoying being there every Sunday, being able to be on the Bible study. And I don't want to go back. And where they're moving into is a very, very dangerous unit. They got a lot of a really dangerous patients on that unit where I could, you know, get seriously hurt. And so that's a gut-wrenching situation for me. But you just spoke to me through the word of God that what I'm supposed to do is not to worry about it, be stressed out about it, but to delight myself in the Lord. And then he would give me the desires of my heart, which is for me to stay in the current position that I'm in. I'm getting used to it, and I'm loving it. So I'm going to try to do that. I'm taking that as a message from the Lord, from you telling me that. When you mentioned gut-wrenching, you thought about me. I thought about me. I'm like, he's talking to me. I'm gut-wrenching right now.
Psalm 37:4, everybody. All right. Thank you. Yeah, God bless you. You're welcome. God is awesome. All right, Elder Holden, are you available? I see your number. Okay, I'm going to pray since Minister Maxwell prayed at the beginning. So let's pray, saints of God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. We lift you up. Lord, help us to learn how to delight in you, Lord, and trust you to give us the desires of our heart. Lord, we want to sow delight, hallelujah, in our life towards you. And we want to speak, Lord, with love, always telling the truth, but in love. And Lord, help us, Lord, to master that. And Lord, help us as the redeemed to say so. Hallelujah. Yes. And give us the wisdom and the unction to do it in such a way that it will be of maximum effect. Help us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Lord, bless, Lord. Hallelujah, one by one. Lord, we put baby Samantha on the altar, Lord. We have confidence that you're going to work this out for her good and that she's going to be blessed. She's going to be completely whole. And Lord, these are just tests, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that the tests come out good. And if it's something to be addressed, Lord, that it won't be anything intrusive, Lord, that you will be able to address it quickly and bring her to full, hallelujah, soundness in every system and organ in her precious body, Lord. Lord, we ask your blessings on the saints one by one, Lord, whatever they stand in need of, Lord, hallelujah. If anybody's upset about the election, bless them, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we've been praying all along that your will be done. And so that kind of prepared us some kind of way. We didn't know how it was going to come out. And hallelujah, we just, I've had a blessed day, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we ask that you bless the souls on the call, hallelujah, that have job situations. Thank bless you. Sister Carol on hers, Lord. We give it to you, and Lord, and as we give it to you, we're delighting in you. Oh, praise your name. Lord, hallelujah to your name. Oh, glorify your name. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Lord, bless the saints one by one, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, bless those saints we haven't seen in a while, Lord. Hallelujah. And whatever it is, Lord, hallelujah, show them it ain't all that important and bring them back to the house of the Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, do what you do. Hallelujah. We present, hallelujah, these issues to you. Hallelujah. We would mess it up. It was up to us. So we give it to you. And Lord, we ask that you deal with those innermost things that people deal with. Hallelujah. The sense of like, well, you know, it's taking too long. The sense, hallelujah, I can't take one more thing. If I have one other disappointment, if I have one other obligation, if I have somebody else say something to me crazy, but Lord, in the name of Jesus, give us, hallelujah, the stamina and determination to go on. And let us know, Lord, hallelujah, how to say so. Hallelujah. In every situation, let us as redeemed people, hallelujah, tell the story. There's glory in the story, Lord. Hallelujah. And there's glory in our own personal story, our own personal love story, somebody said. So, Lord, with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless. Bless everyone on this call. Bless every family, Lord. Hallelujah. Representative. Bless those who have elder parents and elder relatives, those sick among them, Lord. Bless my brother, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting me go over there to see him on Friday on his 70th birthday, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the blessing of that visit. Lord, he still knows who I am. Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I know you know who we are, Lord. You know all about us, Lord. Hallelujah. Every thought we think before we think it, Lord. You know us, Lord. Every hair on our head, Lord. Hallelujah. You know us, Lord. Hallelujah. You made us, Lord. You gave us, hallelujah, praise God, the capacity to praise you. You gave us, hallelujah, the opportunity to pray. You gave us the heart to want to praise you. Lord, we thank you, Lord. And you gave us the opportunity to come into your kingdom, Lord, and to receive the precious redemption that was caused by blood that was shed on Calvary's tree 2,000 years ago. But Lord, by faith, we can enter in through repentance, Lord, hallelujah. And I'm by the outpouring of your precious grace. Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Everybody on the sound of my voice, Lord, everybody, hallelujah, who is affiliated with Bread of Heaven Church, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, pour out, Lord, and let us step forward. And let us think that today is our day. Let us think that right now is our time, Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. Our time to shine. Our time to delight in you. Our time to say so. Our time, hallelujah, to walk in power. Our time to have authority. Our time to walk in purpose, hallelujah. Our time to have our blessing fast track. Our time, hallelujah, to understand the trajectory of the blessing that you want to pour out. Bless now, Lord, hallelujah, in the name of you. Bless Bread of Heaven, Lord, hallelujah. Help us to truly be that outpost for the glory of God, for your glory, Lord, and in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help everything that we say and do point to you.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night. Everybody have a blessed night in Jesus' name. Love you.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sister
Good night.
Nia.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
I've been playing possum on the car, playing possum on y'all's pastor. But that's all right. I love y'all.
I'm not playing possum.
I know. Praise God. Thank you.
I was.
That's so cruel. You're so cruel. Y'all know I'm sensitive. You know. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.